Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining ShareEnjoyment.com. Tonight's share is given by yours truly, Mordechai Plotzker, here in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Just wanted to share a couple different points on the Parsha of Tetzava, and as well as maybe a point or two on the Haftorah, which is Parsha Zachar, and maybe a point or two on the Megillah, just to give us a little bit of understanding as we enter into the beautiful Yontif of Purim. Should come upon the Jewish people in a good stead, and we should always have reason to smile, because this is Mishnichnas Adar Marben B'Simcha. We don't know exactly, Torah does not define to us how we enhance our Simcha. We can just fill in the blanks, and God willing, all of our wishes and desires should come true. Yamalei Hashem Kol Mishal Asach L'Tova, that all of our wishes and desires should become true, L'Tova, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what Tova is, but we should be able to see it speedily in our day, in our time. So first, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in Parsha Tetzava. And as Rabbi Taker had mentioned yesterday, there are many reasons. One of them is because Mechina Misifacha Asher Kasafta, that Moshe Rabbeinu has said that as a result of the Chet Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was displeased with the performance of the Jews. And he said that there is going to be a ramification for their actions. And what was that? It was going to be that Moshe Rabbeinu would be the new Klal Yisrael. And so what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? No, this is not what I signed up for. If that's the case, you can have my attorney speak to your attorney, but I'm not going through with this. So the first explanation on this is that we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gilgal of Noach, right? So why is that the case? Because the same language is found earlier in Parshas Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noach, that he says, Vakimosis b'si itach, I will establish a new covenant with you. And what does that mean, a new covenant with you? It means that there was a sound of silence, meaning Noach did not challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Hashem said, I will destroy the world. Noach may have not realized what was going to happen, but the world was destroyed through water. So Noach was the one who stayed quiet. There's a medrash that brings down that after the flood waters had receded, Noah comes out and notices that the plains are empty of people, and so he begins to cry. Now, this is not to say that he was close with these people. We're not really sure. We don't really have anything that indicates to the positive, in the affirmative, or in the negative, but we do know that he cried. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Medrash, says, Noah, had you cried like this beforehand, I never would have destroyed the world. So what does this message tell us? That Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the world, and Kimin Amayim Mishisihu, he's named as because he was saved through water. We know that the pivotal, so Moshe Rabbeinu got his name Moshe Kimin Amayim Mishisihu. He was named as a result of being saved by Ba'ya through water. Number two is the pivotal moment in Moshe's life was Kriyas Yamsuf, which is a splitting of the waters. And number three, the end of his life was defined by what? The Mei Meriva, which is what? The Mei Meriva is the bitter waters where Klal Yisrael complained and where Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, not once but twice. So this is how Moshe Rabbeinu's life was defined. And so there is this understanding of when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mechina Mesifacha Asher Kasafta, he wasn't saying to erase me from my holy book. He was rather saying that if you're planning on destroying the world again through water, please don't, because you had promised that you're not going to do this again. In Parshas Noach, he promised that the world will never be destroyed again through water. And how do you know that that's the case? Says the Kedushas Levi, because the word Mecheni could also be spelled Mei Noach. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying this, Mecheni na Mesifacha Asher Kasafta, he was saying that the Mei Noach is in your Sefer. Go look back into Parshas Noach. You'll see there you had said that you're not going to destroy the world again through water. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu's plea. The second explanation to this is that, of course, Tzadik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. We have to be careful with what comes out of our mouth. Gemara Katan to Zion on the days that we Moshe be, who governs over me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzadik. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have to realize that our words carry meaning and significance. Even fleeting words that cross our lips have ramifications on high. And so that's the second nakuda. The third nakuda, the third point, is that don't read it that misifracha, read it mispar chaf, right? Which is mispar chaf is another way of saying misifracha. What does that mean? That the 20th parsha from Bereshis is Parshas Tetzava. And So therefore, the mispar chaf, mispar, if we say mechini does mean to erase me from the 20th portion, which is tetzava. So those are three nekudos before we even start the shir. Now that we begin the introduction, we say then, ba'ata tetzava refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if we know that the parsha is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, where do you see Moshe in the parsha? So if we take the word Moshe and we spell out that we have the Moshe is the miloi, we say Moshe is mem, so it's mem, mem. We drop the first letter of the Moshe, and we keep only the second and the third letters that follow. The next letter is shin. So we have the shin, we drop the first shin, and what are we left with? The yud and the nun. So we have so far a mem from Moshe, mem, mem, that's 40. And then we have the yud and the nun from shin, right? That's 40 plus 10 is 50, plus another 50 is 100. And then the last letter, hey, of Moshe's name is hey Aleph, is Aleph. And we have 101. There are 101 psukim in Parshas Tetzava. It means that the whole parsha really was a subtle way of speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this can dovetail into many different nekudos. I have actually written up a nice piece on Pa'amon V'Rimon. If anybody is interested, to please text me and WhatsApp me. I'll be happy to forward that piece along to you. But I wanted to just actually move this conversation into Megillas Esther, because we see in Megillas Esther that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Hastas Lepanav Ayom. Hashem's name is not mentioned. And yet, through the course of natural events, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much present throughout the entire Megillah. Now, the storyline between the two is that we see that Agag, going back to the Haftorah in Parshas Zachar that we just read, right? We say that Shaul was told not to show any mercy toward Agag, toward Amalek. And what does the pasuk tell us that happened? It says, "Vayachamol Shaul al Agag," that Shaul had mercy on Agag. And so what does that mean? That why was Shaul showing mercy? Because one king shows mercy to another king. Shaul failed to execute the order of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was to destroy Amalek. Agag was the ancestor of Haman. And so we see that as a result of that lapse of judgment, Haman came into the world. And so this is something that had to be corrected. So Shmuel saw that there was a failure over here, and he came upon the scene. He asked Shaul, what does he hear? What is the sound that he hears? And Shaul said, I saved all these animals for the best of the Karbanos. So Shmuel HaNavi said, well, who is this man? Why is he still alive? And Shaul said, well, you know, he's a king and this and that. So again, here's when the inaction takes action. And Shmuel HaNavi slays Agag. Now, what's interesting about this is that in Perach of Gimel, a few Purakim later, we find that when Shaul is chasing David HaMelech, or David at the time, he finds himself running into the city of Nov. And there he finds that David had been given refuge, the sword of Goliath, food and drink and provisions for the road. And so Doeg HaDomi convinces Shaul that he has to kill out the people in the town of Nov because they were Moed B'Malchus. They rebelled against the king. So this is something that Shaul said, go ahead and take care of it. And so therefore, all these people were killed. So there's interesting, a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Emor, it says, Emor El HaKahanim. What does it mean, Emor El HaKahanim? Go speak to the Kahanim. So we all know that they have certain responsibilities that most of us don't have to be concerned about. They're the ones who have to go into the Kutche Kutchim. Yisraelim cannot do these things, only the Kahanim. But the Medrash is referring to an instance of where Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see into the future. And much like a crystal ball, he's able to see all of the future leaders of the Jewish people, the future prophets of the Jewish people, all these amazing people. And so what does Moshe Rabbeinu get startled when he sees that Shaul HaMelech dies by the sword? So he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, how is it possible that Shaul HaMelech should fall by the sword? And so what is Hashem's response? Three words. Emor El HaKohanim. Go speak to the Kohanim. Go speak to the Kohanim in the town of Nov that Shaul HaMelech had killed through the hands of Doeg HaDomi, because he was concerned that they had given refuge to David. And so Shaul had showed mercy to his enemies, but failed to show mercy toward his own brothers. And so that's the reason why, from a consistent point of basis, that we learn in the Haftorah that Shaul lost the Melucha. And it had to happen through the Megillah itself that Mordechai and Esther both descend from Shaul, right? Because it says Mordechai ben Shimon Ishimini, he came from the tribe of Binyamin. Shaul HaMelech came from the tribe of Binyamin as well. And they vanquished Haman, who was a descendant of Agag. So whereas Shaul was unable to fulfill the mission at hand, Mordechai and Esther were able to do so. And whereas Agag was able to survive and create the generations that led to the formation of a person called Haman, this was corrected during the time of Mordechai and Esther. And just another point on this, Lech Kenosis Kol HaYudim, I heard from my Chavrusa Itai that this term, Lech Kenosis Kol HaYudim, has more than one reference, perhaps. It doesn't just mean, or as the way I was trying to understand the Pirish on this phrase that Esther had said, that all the Jews should, so to speak, be taxed, Lech Kenosis Kol HaYudim, that they should fast. But I was thinking that maybe not everybody can fast. So what is it that we can do? Some people can give tzedakah. Some people are not able to give tzedakah, so they fast. So every Jew has certain limitations, but every Jew also has certain exemplary attributes. And it's those exemplary attributes that we're trying to fully maximize. So as whereas one is deficient in one regard, the other is proficient in another. And one is able to do certain things, the other cannot do certain things. Together, we're able to do amazing things. So if a person is unable to fast, then he's able to give tzedakah. If a person is not able to give tzedakah, he's able to try to lift up his fellow brothers. And what is something that we do during this time of year? We try to get rid of Amalek. We read Zechiras Amalek, and the remembrances of Amalek. And when we're saying over this, we are saying to ourselves that the reason why this all came about is why, as the Torah says, because we, the Jewish people, were roughly Yedehem min ha-mitzvah. This is learned from the word Vayisu mirfidim. At the tail end of Parshas V'shalach, we learn that the Jews left rifidim. So Rashi tells us there, roughly Yedehem min ha-mitzvah, that they left the mitzvahs. It could have just as easily said, roughly min ha-mitzvah. Why is the word Yedehem used? Because we didn't have that many mitzvahs to work with. But what does Hashem do for us this time of year, during the time of Purim? We take our hands and we utilize them for positive change. We give matanos lev yonim, and we give mishloach manos ish l'rayehu. This is literally the giving of a hand to another, the extending of our good fortune to that of another so that they can do amazing things. And that is how we correct the entrance of Amalek into our discussion, by suppressing Amalek's capabilities through our enhancement of our own strengths, which are giving toward others in a meaningful way. And for those that are unable to give, then there are other means by which they can accentuate this. But the Torah is telling us the instruction about how important it is that we should be roughly yedeim in the mitzvot, that we should try to remove the elements that hold us back and move forward with the elements that push us forward, which is mishloach manos ish l'rayehu and matanos lev yonim, right? And that's really Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim. This is how all of the Jewish people get together and enhance the rubric of the Jewish nation. It's a form of collectivism, in a sense, that's really positive and energized. So with that, I think I went over a few minutes. I wanted to wish everyone a beautiful Chag Purim Sameach, Chag Urim Sameach. There should be a beautiful light upon the Jewish people. We have a beautiful Megillah to read, in which we find that our greatest strength is our unity. And that's something that we should take with us. That the real Simchas HaChaim of this holiday is that when we get together and we have a Purim Seuda. It's interesting, by the way, that Reed Magash brings down that we don't have a Hanukkah Seuda. It's true that people get together over Hanukkah, but there's nothing quite like Purim. And the reason is because we don't lose any Jews on Purim. We lost people on Hanukkah. So there's nothing for us to celebrate, even though we may have won our religious freedom, but we did lose Jewish people as a result of our victories. Over here, during the time of Purim, we were able to celebrate because it was a wholesome win, and we were able to vanquish our enemies. And it should always be that we should see the positive in one another. That's the most important thing. And from there, we can always achieve even greater things by accentuating the positive and living life to the fullest with a big smile. So I wish everyone a Chag Urim Sameach and have a very wonderful holiday. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best.
Take care.